Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time for Tuesdays at Top Golf with Austin Lane, Brent Martineau, and the Jacksonville Jaguars all-time leading scorer, Josh Scobie. Sponsored by Top Golf. On a Tuesday,
got your girl in the color sheet. You like that intro?
I mean, that kind of got a tingle there. I like that.
Yeah.
Tingles are good.
That was back when kickers could make kicks.
Oh,
ooh.
We all miss them. It's okay. We all miss them.
It sounds like a major problem coming out of the weekend,
oh,
man.
Gosh. I mean, fortunately, I didn't watch very much football this weekend, mainly because my kid had baseball for 3.5 hours
that
on
baby,
Sunday.
That's a good day.
So
better
than
football.
I didn't get to watch, you know, what was going on, but my goodness. I've never heard or seen that many missed kicks in one day or one week of football ever.
It felt like, I don't know the numbers of it, I didn't look this up, but it felt like when we first went to the 33-yard extra point, that we had like a week or two like this where it was like, holy cow,
yeah.
Can't believe people are missing this many kicks. So I don't know what the numbers were, and obviously the rate has gone up. But this one just did seem a little weird with all the, I mean, and by the way, but from good kickers, like Mason Crosby's been a very good kicker.
Correct.
Missed three and then an extra point.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a ton of missed kicks in that game. Heck, you had the Cincinnati kicker, McPherson, thought he won it.
Yeah, I love his reaction. Yeah, it's in, hits the flag. Like, no, this is not baseball. It doesn't count when you hit the flag or the actual stick.
So, like officiating's not hard enough, right?
What's that?
We don't work here.
You want to watch him hit? He's a world long
drive
champion.
No, watch him hit it. People
world
are requesting me
guy.
To hit the long
ball. Why aren't you asking me to hit
I'm
it?
I'm not driving the long ball express. Josh Scobie's driving the long ball express.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I had like one good one. That was it.
Yeah.
I was like one for ten.
This was a live radio show. It no longer is. We got some people stopping by and
fans, I guess.
See
I
Austin
mean,
hit the ball.
Do you call them fans, I guess?
It's like.
They don't know who we are.
It's like, I guess headphones and a microphone don't give any clues.
Oh, yeah. Brent, they don't care. I mean, when you're all aboard the Long Ball Express, people want to do your thing, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. Well, hey, we'll get back to the kickers in a moment. You had a nice moment yesterday, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Albatross.
Yeah, that was a fun moment. It was a charity event out at TPC Sawgrass for the Ronald McDonald House. And we had a good group of friends of mine from Deerwood. And I happened to hit the best shot I've ever hit in my life from 244 yards on the ninth hole, par five there, and one hopped it in the hole.
Wow. I saw the video. I mean, that was a 5-wood?
5-wood. It was a little against the wind.
244.
Yeah, I mean,
he continues to flex here.
Listen,
of course.
If it was downwind, I'm hitting like a 3-iron. And I probably wouldn't have stopped it, but it was probably the best shot I've ever hit in my life, and it's leading to some fun things. I mean,
well, I was going to say congratulations. You're going on the Golf Network to talk about it.
Correct.
Friday,
really?
Right?
So tomorrow they reached out to me. I'm going on Golf Channel tomorrow.
Okay, the Golf Channel. What is that like? Like, tell us about the hit. Well, I hit it pretty well. All right, Josh, thanks for stopping by. What goes into that whole thing?
Well, I'm going to use this opportunity tomorrow on Golf Channel to try and like get in some more golf tournaments.
Okay.
Tomorrow I'm gonna bring out everything.
Oh, wow.
I'm gonna throw some punches. I'm gonna pull an Austin Lane, and I'm just gonna
cutting a promo.
Everything. Like, listen, you don't invite me to this, you don't invite me to that. Boom. This is what's going down. I'm going to call out some people.
This dude's cutting a promo.
Listen, Josh, I play golf in the Bahamas with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Say, I've won LaDainian Tomlinson's event a couple of times.
Tomlinson.
Or who's this?
I don't know. Whoever.
Who's out in San Diego? What event?
That was Drew Brees. Yeah. And then
close, Brent.
Someone else. But, you know.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Football players.
Oh, did he?
Players. But, yeah. So I'm going to use this as a promotional thing.
Seriously, what celebrity event have you won recently?
It's been a while.
Most recently.
It's been a couple years because of COVID. Haven't been able to play.
Oh, you haven't been doing any of them.
Yeah, the one in San Diego hasn't happened in a couple years.
Okay, so and that was a Brees event?
Yeah, that was Drew Brees. He was a part of that for a long time, and then it was Marshall Faulk.
Oh, Faulk.
So, yeah, he
okay,
was the
that's
one
was
that hosted that. Yeah, running
backs. Good running backs. Hall of Fame running backs.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Well, Josh, I mean, I don't know much about golf, but if you need a promoter, like a manager, I'm your guy.
Yeah.
So, like, if you want
guy.
Me to cut a promo, I mean, I watch a lot of wrestling, so I can cut a promo for you.
If you have any ideas for the next 12 hours,
run those by you, yeah.
Let me know.
Yeah.
Because I'm
going to
go on there and just, I'm going to start out all subtle, like, oh, yeah, you know, I got lucky, I hit a good shot, but I should be in every tournament.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, and then I'm just going to go off. So
I love this part about Scobie, though, because, like, Tahoe's a big one.
You know my anger towards this stuff.
Yes,
so.
And I like this. I like this about you. This is just like, I should be in those events.
Correct.
I mean, what are you doing, Mark Mulder? Just because you struck Brett Martineau out in college doesn't mean you should be in these events.
Listen, there's no way I'm not on the same level as those guys. The only reason they get to play in it is because they've won it before.
Yeah.
But they've been given so many opportunities. I've only been given a handful. So give me more opportunity.
We agree. All right, Golf Channel should be able to help. So they saw that and they called.
They did.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah, that is.
I was
cool.
out playing golf today, and I get a direct message on Twitter from a producer from Golf Channel, and I'm like, done.
All right.
Done. You don't know what you're in for.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yes, I love how the wheels have already turned.
I'm like, how long do I have? Are you giving me like a half hour or 30 seconds?
This could lead to big things.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
By the way, what did you guys finish in the tournament?
We
McDonald's house, wasn't it?
We won it, yeah. So we actually only won by one. We had a double eagle and an eagle on a par five, and we only won by one.
All right, how convinced are you that people cheat in those events?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Like, I go play in those events, and I don't even think about winning because I don't want to get my frame. By the way, I'm not saying I'm good enough to win, but even if I was playing with you, and I wouldn't even have my frame of mind because I'm convinced, like, you shoot like 20 under, and somebody else is up there at 22 under. Yep. You're like, there's no way they did that.
Well, yesterday they were doing this like live scoring or whatever. So your caddy actually enters your score after you finish the hole. So it's very up to date, live, and we're keeping up with it, watching it. And somehow there was a group that was already through 15 holes, and we had only played 6 holes. And they were 20 under, and we're going, how in the world have they played 15 holes? So that's how you know people cheat.
You know,
those
it's
things.
A little sketchy.
But that was on the net side. We won the gross side of it.
Very good. Very good. So you guys played good. I did want to ask you this. Albatross or double eagle?
I would say double eagle. I don't. I can't.
I think double eagle sounds better than albatross.
It does, but it also insinuates that it's 4 under par. I don't – it doesn't
make
sense.
That's a good point.
Albatross, it's another bird. You have a birdie, an eagle, and an albatross.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Double
eagle.
I just
feel like you got to explain yourself so much more with the albatross.
Correct.
Like, Austin has no idea what an albatross is.
You have any idea what we're talking about right now?
No, man, I'm actually watching Brewers games. You guys are all good right now. You guys keep going as you are. Let's go Brewers.
Golf.
Let's go. Shout out to YouTube TV.
He's not lying.
No, but I understand albatross, it's one better. Well, it's one lower than a birdie.
Yeah.
And a bogey, didn't we figure it out where it's like a...
Well, we know, yeah. We figured that out.
What is a bogey, though? Brent?
Looked this up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Josh, what is a bogey?
One worse than par.
Correct, but what is actually a bogey?
Yeah, why is
bogey?
I have no idea.
Oh, well, there we go. I guess you guys don't know everything in golf.
What is a bogey? He looked this up.
I forgot.
It was something about, like, way back in the day, guy had, like, a dog named Bogey or something.
And yeah.
That's why he called
it
a bogey. No, seriously, like, it's way back in the start of golf.
Yep.
Somebody, like, nicknamed over par a bogey, and that's how it stuck.
There's a lot of dumb things in golf, and that's just another one.
There are a lot of dumb rules.
So the term bogey comes from the song that was popular in the British Isles in the 1890s called the Bogey Man, later known as Colonel Bogey. And that's where it came from.
Yeah.
I
have a lot of friends.
Second time on the show you've looked that up for us.
Yeah, it is.
Appreciate it.
No problem.
Colonel Bogey.
All right, well, good luck on the Golf Channel.
Well, thank you.
And hope it leads to some good things.
12:15 tomorrow.
12:15 tomorrow. You don't even have to wake up early. That's nice.
I mean, I hopefully I'll be awake by then.
Yeah, but I mean, you go on the Golf Channel, sometimes they watch on at 6:15.
True.
I mean,
yeah,
that's pretty good.
Josh, we're talking a casual appearance here. Are we talking maybe, are you dressing for the job that you want to have?
That's a good point. I actually have been thinking about this. I have a tuxedo.
Okay.
I might put it on just to be
tuxedo
funny.
Tuxedo top and shorts in the bottom.
Correct.
And then stand up at the end and say you were in shorts.
I'm thinking about it's going to be, you know, FaceTime or whatever.
Sure, sure.
So, you know, they want me to wear headphones so they can get the good audio.
Yep.
But I'm thinking about just wearing something really dumb up top and just eventually back it out. And, you know, I'm in golf shoes and shorts like I'm wearing now.
Yes.
Yes. So we'll see.
Oh, now I actually got to.
Now we're going
to
tune in.
Now I have to subscribe to the Golf Channel. I don't even have that
I
one.
I have a lot of ideas for this.
Okay.
I love how much you're thinking about this.
Well, it just happened a little while ago. So
it's fresh.
The wheels are spinning.
If you need ideas.
I'm probably
not
listening.
Your guy, but Austin seriously might be. We could probably push out a video by 11:30 preceding
so,
this.
So, Josh, to tell you the truth, there was one opportunity that I had one time where I was going to go on NFL Live. And Sarah Walsh?
Right? Yeah, Sarah Walsh.
Yeah, Sarah Walsh was going to.
UNF alum?
Yep, was going to interview
Local
me
time.
Over,
oh, that's right.
Over a tweet that I had. So I was slated to go on at 6:30 after we got out of the stadium. This was back in 2011, I believe. And I had it set up where I was actually going to the Mac store at the town center, and I was going to do the interview from there. Because I didn't have a computer. So I had it all set up and ready to go, and the owner of the Mac store said, yeah, no problem. We get you the bandwidth, anything that you need. I had it all set up, and then Drew Brees signed a new contract. I got bumped, and they never called me back.
You got bumped.
I got bumped. So hopefully Tiger Woods doesn't do something crazy.
I was
going to
say,
Tiger Woods doesn't do something.
He's been back on the golf course. If they see him, if they have video, you might be screwed.
Tiger Woods looking good on the putting green. Sorry, Josh. Got to go to Tiger footage.
All right, Josh, we're going to have to cut you off here. Thanks, though.
Yeah.
Nice shot. Back to kicking.
Brooks Koepka tweeted something about Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah. Sorry about that, Josh. I'll let you go.
That could easily happen.
That could happen.
Dang it. Now
you're pretty quiet.
Sorry for speaking
at first.
Yeah.
We'll have a golf picks tomorrow.
Yeah.
Speaking of.
Yeah. Who's in first place again with that?
Yeah,
The Butcher.
What?
Josh, I'm not sure if you know this. They call me The Butcher. You know why? Because my guys always make the cuts.
Oh, I like that.
See what he could do for you tomorrow?
I'm just saying.
All right, we need to talk after this.
I think I have your information.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
Oh,
let's do it.
Oh, man. Back to the kicking. It's been a long time since I've talked to you about this. Do you like the 33-yard extra point now?
I mean, honestly, I never did. I fully understand it. It just kind of stinks for kickers because they've basically been discouraged from being so good. They don't want to fully take away the extra point. So they said, all right, you guys are so good at this. It's like a 98% success rate, so we're going to make it harder on you. It's like golf if you lagged up a 40-foot putt to a foot. And they said, all right, now back it up to 3 feet, and you make it.
You can't make it.
It's worth the same thing.
Yeah.
So the one thing about the 20-yard, the old extra point, the 20-yarder, it was kind of like a warm-up for normal field goals. And that's what most kickers use it as. So we always love, you know, if your offense scores a touchdown first, you get that one kick out of your system. And then if you have a field goal later, great, you're already warmed up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been going on for, 6 years now, and it's just something that it's in kickers' heads. It's kind of danged if you do, danged if you don't type of thing. Like, you're supposed to make a 33-yarder. Mm-hmm. If you miss, you look like an idiot. If you make it, they're like, yeah, you were supposed to make it.
Yeah. I think, do you believe, like, that extra point, those misses weigh more almost and play with the mental side of a kicker than maybe even the missing of field. Now, you can only miss so many, but, like, I wonder, like, Lambeau's missed both right now. So what's screwing him up more, the extra points that he missed
or the field goals? For sure. I mean, it all weighs on you pretty heavily. If you miss an extra point, especially, you know, a 33-yarder, then the next time you go out there for whatever distance it is, you're not going to have the confidence that you would have if you had made it. It's just it's a goofy situation. And I just don't like games coming down to a 33-yard extra point, possibly in overtime, like what happened with the Bengals and the Packers. So it's luckily I'm not playing anymore because, you know, it's just dumb.
Josh, on any given practice day, and I get every kicker is a little different in terms of the routine, but on any given practice day, what percentage of the kicks just go towards the distance of an extra point? What percentage of your kicks in practice go towards, like, you know, 40 to 50, and then, like, 50 and beyond, would you
say? It's probably you work most of your yardages between 40 and 50 yards.
Okay.
Because you assume that you can make all of those ones from 25 yards to 40 yards.
Okay.
So you basically start at a short distance, work your way back, and just kind of stay in that mid-range, and then hit a few from long range. But, yeah, the majority is hit from between 40 and 45.
You know, I will say this about the extra point. I thought it was kind of goofy. I thought it was a little outside the box too much. Like, I think you can get – you can mess up the NFL by being it tricked up, if you will. But I do think it adds this from an entertainment standpoint, a curiosity and not a given, that even if you do tie it up at the end or you gave up a touchdown at the end, you're like, oh, my God. Now, I'm the guy that doesn't like to see games end like that either. Like, I'd rather somebody win the game than lose on something like that. It feels like, oh, man, really? That happened? But it does add an entertainment value to it. It's just nothing given.
It does. It's just not a fun way to win or lose. I mean, if you walk back in the locker room after missing a 33-yard extra point to lose the game, then your teammates aren't exactly going to be thrilled with you and say, oh, it's all right, you know, you barely missed that one. Now, they expect you to make that every single time.
Yeah.
That's just why I don't like it. But, you know, it is what it is with this rule, and they just have to deal with it.
Did you watch Blankenship last night?
No. What happened?
Well, because he pulled a 47-yarder, but I was after Calais had blocked one from close range.
I heard about it. I was driving back from Daytona last night, so I didn't get to watch
it. I just wondered, like, it looked like he pulled the next one because of Calais' presence on the side.
Well, yeah, Calais could not even jump, and he could block one.
Just put your arms up, man.
Yeah, I don't think 6'8".
We love Calais, but I don't know how big his vertical is to begin with.
It doesn't have to be big, though, man.
Yeah, he doesn't. Here, Matthew Wright slips. Okay, I gave a pass for slipping off the right side. What I don't understand is happening around here is in today's day in NFL, not being able to get at the distance on a 53.
Yeah.
We saw Lambeau do the same. It's like, why aren't these guys hitting it well? And 53 and 52 yards, like hitting the crossbar, I don't know, man.
No.
That just doesn't seem – it's not 1996.
No, that doesn't happen very often. I saw that one that Matthew Wright, you know, hit the crossbar on. And there's only two things that would factor in with that. And it's not leg strength, because I guarantee he has the leg strength.
Yeah, I think there's video of him
there.
Kicking it like 60-plus.
There you go. Yeah. So it was either a really bad miss hit or wind. The wind might have been blowing in, but the wind wasn't blowing very hard for that
it
game.
It wasn't. I remember being out and checking the flag.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, it could gust maybe, but it was probably just a really bad miss hit. I had that happen one time in Baltimore, I think it was a 51 or 52-yarder, where I hit it, and I thought it was going to come up short. It went in, but barely went in, because I had mishit it really bad. So that might have been what it was.
And it happens. I'm actually surprised that doesn't happen to kickers more often.
Well, I mean,
where they don't miss, where they mishit it.
Well, typically, you have a strong enough leg. Any kicker in the NFL does, so I'd be shocked if I ever saw someone come up short with a temperature like this and not, you know, in a cold weather condition.
All right. We're not going to talk any more kicking. We'll talk some other things after
this.
I mean,
it's boring.
Amazing.
Very boring.
I mean, it hasn't been boring. I don't even want to talk about the Jazz kicking
problems. I think they call
it
educational.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the Jazz kicking problems anymore. I don't.
It's not even – I mean, the crazy part is they have a kicking competition in week 6 in the NFL. Like it's a college team.
Yeah.
That's what blows my mind.
Well,
I've
not
never
only that,
seen anything like
that. No, that, but Urban says they got an APB on finding somebody else. Like
they're going to have
they really don't want these guys even kicking anyway. They're going to try to get somebody better.
I want to know, like, how intense are these competitions? Like, because keep in mind, Josh, I just watched Squid Game. Have you seen Squid Game yet?
No, I've heard.
It's probably not that.
So intense.
Really?
Oh, Josh, you're missing out, man. You're missing out. Fantastic television. But, I mean, it's pretty intense. I wonder if it's even more intense than Squid Game is because, well, your career's on the line.
I'll tell you.
Okay. It's not. Okay.
I highly doubt it.
I don't know, Brett. Just saying.
A Squid Game seems like a perfect transition to our Florida Sportsman Fishing Report.
Yeah, you better believe
bring
it.
In what Captain Rick Riles right now. Captain Rick, see any squid today?
Okay, I just heard a professional athlete say that Squid Game on television is more intense than guys competing for their livelihood. Is that what I heard?
Hey, you might want to watch a trailer for Squid
Captain
Game.
Rick, have you seen Squid Game, though, sir?
No, I haven't seen Squid Game.
Might want to get that membership renewed on Netflix because it's intense.
It's still television, Austin. Let me explain it to you. It's not real life. Let's talk some real life fishing because it was a pretty good day today, particularly inshore. Now, we've had something weird happen offshore, and I've had three or four captains report it. An unusual number of legal, good-sized trigger fish within 10 to 15 miles of the beach. That's highly unusual this time of year. Our water temperatures warmer than usual. Captain David Borey's reported 78 degrees waters today and said he fully expected the redfish to get up in the shallow water early this morning on low tide, and they did not. But he switched plans immediately, went to fish in a little deeper water. The deeper holes increased and had a very good day on redfish and black drum. Even reported some big croakers. There's been some good croakers that are still hanging down around the Shands Bridge. And what that tells us is that the shrimp haven't left the river yet, because that's what the croakers feed on, and they will follow them out of the river as they come out. Looks like the breeze is going to stay out of the east for another day. That means it's probably going to be a little bit sloppy for the smaller boats offshore. The bigger boats should be able to handle it. But there's one thing you can count on. We'll be back tomorrow with another fishing report brought to you by Workman's Quick Fix Plumbing and CSS Landscaping.
All right. Thanks, Captain Rick. Check out the Squid Game trailer. I think you'll see what we're talking about.
I'll do it.
Have a good
thanks,
one.
Guys.
All right. That's Captain Rick. We'll be back Tuesdays from Top Golf. Josh Scobie, Fred Martin, Austin Lane, Casey Kurtz back in the studios. We will be right back on ESPN 690. No more kicking talk. We'll move on.
Please.
Right after this.
You know, those plays are going to start happening, and we're going to start making headway, and we're starting, you know, everything's going to fall our way once, and we're going to get a win. And from my experience, I think it's not so much, it's not that we're not going to win football games, because we know we can. We have the roster to do it. We have an incredibly talented roster. But I think that the biggest thing is just getting that first one, just to build that confidence, be like, okay, we can do this thing. And then you walk into games saying, oh, I don't, you know, are we going to win this one? And instead, you're walking into games saying, we're going to get this win, and that's going to happen. And when you play with that kind of confidence, especially with a talented roster like this, you'll see some nice things happen.
That is. You want to know who that is, don't you?
Sounded like a long snapper, possibly.
He probably was at one time.
Tight end.
Yeah.
Good call.
New tight end.
Yes.
Good call.
That's what
Dan Arnold. Yeah.
Dan Arnold.
Don't even know. I thought it was the guy from Roseanne. I don't know.
It's amazing what a few targets can do for your whole outlook on the team.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, you going to throw away the ball?
Considering there's a chance.
Best team I've been on.
There is a chance, since the Jags coveted him in free agency, he might not even want him to be here.
Yes. That is correct.
Good, depending on what the Jags had offered.
Yeah.
And he took 2 years, $6 million in Carolina. So I'm glad he's a team guy.
Yeah. What's how's Chris Manhurst doing?
He's just blocking.
What happened to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Had a good first touchdown of the Trevor Lawrence career.
Yes.
And he, I don't think, has caught a pass since. Maybe he has, but it doesn't feel like he has.
Okay.
They're not utilizing their playmakers, clearly.
Josh is one of the first guys taken in free agency. A little respect for Mr. Manhurst.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Dan Arnold, though, I thought he could be a difference maker for them. I mean,
it's good
to see. Guy get six catches from the tight end spot.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand he fumbled the one, but I feel like he's going to be a part of it now going forward. That's a good thing for their offense.
Mm-hmm. He should be their reliable, you know, tight end, pass-catching tight end, not a blocking tight end that occasionally catches a pass.
Yeah. And, listen, I will say these guys continue to we've been in locker rooms enough to know. We would have to ask you guys questions and maybe about guys that you didn't think unbelievable if you really put ask you off camera and you'd say nice things about people. But I think a lot of the players you talk to, or I wasn't down there today, so these guys were asking questions and about Trevor Lawrence and Dan Arnold, and I'm seeing some quotes from Jamal Agnew and guys like that come out. Like, hey, man, this guy's scary good, like real deal good.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this about this Jags team and everything that's going on. There has not been a moment through these five games where I don't think everybody in town has wavered from their thought of Trevor is the real deal, going to be good. He's thrown, like, now, what, 9 interceptions or 8 interceptions. But even in those moments, I don't think people are like, oh, my God, this guy's going to be terrible. Like, this, there has not been that that's crept in because he's shown us enough good moments. And he went from peaks and valleys in the first few games to now a couple of steady games. I do think that part's legit. I think this kid is really good.
They're all seeing that in practice, I'm sure, and that's why they're saying it. I mean, it hasn't fully translated to the games yet. I mean, we've seen, you know, flashes of it and bits and pieces, but he's got to get a little bit better at protecting the ball, not throwing the silly passes, not throwing into double and triple coverage, and, you know, taking the little dump-offs whenever he can and not trying to force things, because it seems like to me, and I mean, I don't know a ton about what their offense are trying to run, but it seems like he's trying to force things, and that's when he's getting in trouble.
Yeah, especially early on he did. I mean, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of that was they were putting too much on his plate. You know, that's what they're, what we talked about it earlier, Austin.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts, he's got like 87% of the offense. I mean, the guy's only played like 10 games in the NFL.
Yep.
That's probably asking a guy to do too much. He might be a second-year player, but he's still kind of like a rookie. So the Jags did that without a running game and 51 pass attempts, and they're asking him to go out there and do all this stuff. I think they're asking him to do less. But the qualities, listen, it's one thing to make the throws and all that stuff. I think it's from these guys you hear a lot of the quality stuff. Urban Meyer talking about him, Dan Arnold talking about him, Jamal Agnew talking about him. Marvin Jones has been telling us for months about him like this. And I think we're seeing it play out. I mean, again, it's the one solace in all of this 20-game losing streak. It might have been worth it.
No, it definitely is the solace. But at the same time, too, you know, you have a team that they're desperate for a win. You have a team that's going through a lot of distractions right now. And you have to stay together, you know, and then a good way to stay together when you're 0-5, you're winless, and you're aching for a win is to, I don't want to say be complimentary, but obviously have each other's back.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And that's what you're finding with this team right now, which is good, because the last thing you want to do is start questioning your teammates and start, you know, calling people out, because that's where you can really fall apart and unravel.
Yeah, I would disagree with Dan. I don't know if they're incredibly talented. I mean,
hey, like I said, it's a few targets here or there for Dan Arnold. He's in a new disposition.
Hey, but you can, I mean, as an athlete, sometimes you can be naive and it works out. And tell yourself you're better than you might actually be. Tell the
team. I do that every day.
I do it every single time I'm on the golf course, so I get it. But, yeah, I mean, it can work.
Make sure you do it on the Golf Channel tomorrow.
Yeah. It's called the placebo effect. I mean, just feed it in there, and, hey, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, then try something else.
It is true. It's psychology to it, I guess. Brett Martineau, Josh Scobie, Austin Lane. We're live at Top Golf. We call it Tuesdays at Top Golf, 5 to 6 every week during football season. Josh joins us to talk kickers. Not really, but that's the way it's worked
boring.
Out. You know, Austin's watching the Brewers. What's the score?
0-0, but it's the bottom.
Who's winning?
Yeah, right? Not me right now, because the we've got a guy on second, bottom of the first, zero outs for the Atlanta Braves. And it looks like it's going to be worse for the Brewers fans out there. So it's been a fun season, Brent.
Yeah, it's some disappointment going on. By the way, the Dodgers are a loss away from elimination as well. The Rays, one of the best teams. The Brewers, one of the best teams. They all could be on the ropes here.
Yep.
You obviously, what is your best fandom, right? Like, is it the Brewers? Is it the Bucks?
What
gets your blood boiling? I mean, you've sworn a couple times watching Blake Bortles play.
Sure. I mean, if we're being realistic here, I only have one tattoo of a professional team on my back, and that's the Milwaukee Brewers. So it's probably the Brewers.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one too many tattoos.
Okay. But
well, I mean, Josh, I have tons of them. And that's not even close to the worst one I have.
You don't have any tattoos?
So.
I don't. And if I did, it probably wouldn't
inspiration?
Be.
Inspiration? Would you? Yeah, that's that would be the big boy doing big boy things in a big boy world, obviously, Josh. Yeah. Obviously.
I'm surprised you haven't lost a bet or anything that you had to get a tattoo.
I have. I've lost many bets, but never for a tattoo. I have no idea what I would put on my body that would be okay.
Josh, what is it with NFL locker rooms? Because let's be honest. If you don't have a tattoo, you're kind of an outlier.
Yeah,
I mean, let's be honest here.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like kickers, that's not a big necessity in locker rooms.
Aldrick Rosas, it is.
Well, Aldrick Rosas has some.
Yeah. Matt Prater has a ton of tattoos.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. He wears the sleeves in the games to make sure we don't see the tattoos he has because it looks like he got them when he was in middle school. And his girlfriend put them on because they're that bad.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, you don't see kickers or punters with too many tattoos. You know, if you're putting something meaningful on your body, mm-hmm. you might put, like, an upright on my back or something like that. Like, put that right there. Well, hopefully a ball going through the middle.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you next, because I'm reminded of Allen Robinson, who has maybe one of the biggest flexes of all times in terms of tattoos, where he has a tattoo of himself in college getting a game-winning catch. So it's a tattoo of himself on his arm.
Yeah.
Right? It's his arm, right, Brent, or his leg? Whatever it is.
I feel like it was on his arm.
Okay, so he's got a tattoo of himself Randy Mossing somebody in college. Scobie, how much would I have to pay you to get the tattoo of yourself beating the Colts and back in 2010, was it?
Yeah, 2010.
About
$6-$7, I would say. I would do it. My wife and I were talking about it the other night, about what tattoo we would get. She wants me to get, like, a ring tattoo here so I don't have to wear a ring anymore. I'm like, well, you know, that's pretty easy, but I kind of want to get something else.
I'm just going to say this, though.
She wants you to not wear the ring anymore.
Well, I take it off when I play golf, and I lose it all the time.
Yeah, I've already lost one by doing that. Yeah.
I've never lost it. I've lost it, but I've always found it.
So I've had two friends get the ring tattoo because they're married, and both those marriages ended. So I don't know if that's like a bad omen. I don't want to tell you what to do, John. I'm just saying.
Thanks.
I mean, as far as my friends are concerned, I have three friends that have had that tattoo, and two of those marriages have ended. So they're batting one for three right now.
Yeah, hey, get you to the Hall of Fame, but not the Hall of Fame of marriages.
I'm just saying.
I got a buddy of mine that is a doctor here. Hopefully he doesn't see this, but he's does marathons and triathlons, and he did an Ironman, and he got a lot of people they do these Ironman, and they'll get like a tattoo of it on their arm or their leg. He got a giant Ironman tattoo on his calf, and he's a prominent doctor here. I mean, same age as me, and he didn't tell his wife he was doing it. And he and I played golf like a couple hours before he got it, and he had to get hammered drunk just to get it.
Oh, man.
And she still hates it.
Just rock the bumper sticker, dude, huh?
Yeah.
I'm like, they have bumper stickers out there.
You didn't have to get it on your calf. And he also has, like, a tramp stamp, too, on his back that he got in college. I'm like, what are you thinking with these tattoos?
So would the calf hurt?
Oh, it has to hurt.
I don't have any calf tattoos, but it can't feel the best.
On the front?
No, so truth be told, the shin actually was probably the easiest one because all the nerves in my shin are dead from kicking.
Wow, that's because he's trained his shins to be dead.
Oh. Yeah, so I can't really feel my shins anymore, so that one's okay. But it's funny you bring up the term tramp stamp because, Brent, you had me on your TV show way back in the day on my back tattoo. And I'm not sure if you remember this or not.
Probably not.
But I got yelled at by Joe Collin because I said the word tramp stamp. And he's like, what are you doing going on TV and saying? I'm like, Coach.
Oh, sorry.
Coach, I mean, I think it's okay to say, right? Or not?
That's the norm now.
Casey, did you have to hit the drop button? If you did, it's too late.
Well, I think we're allowed. But, like, the story is Joe Collin got mad at me because he actually watched that whole thing. And he's like, I see what Brent Martineau saying the word tramp stamp. I'm like, yes. Because it's 2000 and whatever it was.
By the way, hopefully Joe's still not watching TV these days.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't want to watch
mad at me for a whole lot more.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Uh-oh.
For sure.
Oh, stuff coming out of Jags headquarters. How can you not?
Yeah. So what's going to happen first? Brent gets a tattoo or Josh gets a tattoo?
I'm going to go neither.
Yeah. Really? Neither.
Well, we have a bet that if we finished first in the ratings, I have to get a tattoo.
Okay.
So that hasn't happened.
And I'm going to do what it takes.
I might get one when I turn 40 next year in Vegas. That's my plan.
Oh, that's a spirit, Josh.
I have
in Vegas.
Zero desire to get.
I've heard they have really good tattoo artists in Vegas.
They do. But there's also.
By the way, you could renew your vows there, too, if you want.
True.
If you get it on your
finger. Get it in one fell swoop. There you go.
Hey, $15 for
my wife and I were talking about I should get the tattoo instead of the ring. Hey, I just want to let you know I got a couple buddies there. They're all divorced.
I'm just saying, two for three, Josh. Two for three. I'm trying to help you out, dude.
If you got a tattoo of the moment over the Colts, so what would be the image?
It would be Jacksonville catching the ball. Because apparently that was more important than me making the kick.
You just got to ask Jacksonville.
Just ask him.
He'll tell you.
All right, we'll be back. Action Sports Jax on ESPN 690. We're live at Top Golf. Tuesdays at Top Golf. Come on, join us. Hit some balls with us. Get some tattoos with us. Or maybe not. Just awesome. We'll be back. I'm
mean, I knew I got every bit of it as far as how hard I could hit a baseball. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't quite sure that it was gonna go out. I mean, the conditions tonight were crazy. I mean, we were talking about coming over. It's like, I don't think I stepped out of the box as many times in my career as I have, you know, mid at bat tonight. A couple of times I felt like I was gonna get blown over by the wind. A lot of dust in the eyes, and so it was definitely a little bit more difficult environment to hit in and play in tonight.
I'm assuming that's Evan Longoria for the San Francisco Giants. He got a hold of one, but the wind was crazy. Lux, I believe is his name. He thought he hit one out to tie the game for the Dodgers. He put his hand up, and the ball was caught before the warning track. I mean, it was crazy. They said, did you see the stats on that? The launch angle and the exit velocity that was hit at, the number's going to be crazy, but it's like 55 out of 62 were hits this year, and like 38 were home runs.
Yeah.
Dang.
And the wind just sucked it in.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounded like a home run. That guy felt like it was a home run. The measurement said it would have been a home run, and the wind just pulled it right back in. Giants got a little bit lucky in that regard. Brett Martineau, Boston Lane, Josh Scobie, Casey Kurtz, Tuesdays at Top Golf. Good to be out here. By the way, come out to Top Golf. They got a new burger you can try. You ask for the burger, you get a free soda. Diet Coke product. Do that through Sunday at really all Top Golf locations, but most importantly for your purposes, right here in Jacksonville. We're out at Top Golf every Tuesday in football season. Josh joins us from 5 until 6 to talk the epidemic of kickers here in Jacksonville and around the NFL. You can also talk more with us, by the way. Download the Relevant app, R-E-L-E-V-N-T, the Relevant app. You can join our ESPN 690 vibe. You can listen to ESPN 690 live from wherever you are, whether you're in London this week with the Jags or right here in Jacksonville. Relevant app, R-E-L-E-V-N-T. Download that. I asked Austin, I said, okay, what's your, like, blood-boiling passion of a sports fan? Like, mine's the Red Sox. I really am a bad fan of everything else ever since I got in the business. I'm a weird fan like that. You know, my kid's a big fan of stuff, no doubt. He gets mad. He leaves the house because of the Rays and goes wandering. Do you have a blood-boiling fandom?
I mean,
anything that you watch, like on TV or...
I mean, growing up, I grew up in Texas, so I wasn't necessarily a Cowboys fan, or, I mean, the Texans weren't there, the Houston Oilers were, you know, there, but I always went to Texas Ranger games, but now it's less and less, but it still is the Jaguars. I mean, obviously living here and playing for the team, that's what gets my blood boiling, and with how it's gone for the past 20 games and however many seasons of the losing, like, if it's a bad Sunday, I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah, yeah.
And my wife knows it and realizes that if they're losing, that I'm not going to be in the best of moods. And, I mean, I still root for the team, and I wish for them to do as good as they can, and... because it helps everything out. It helps the city. I mean, 2017 was amazing with the city and how, I mean, just on a Monday, you'd come out and talk to a random person, and they want to talk about the Jaguars and talk about how well it's going. And I just hope that it gets turned around so we can not just be in a bad mood on Sundays and Mondays.
Well, and I think to echo what Josh said, I mean, I've been the most frustrated in my sports fandom with the Jaguars.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I think... having been in locker rooms like we have, like, we understand how the game of football works in the grand scheme of things. Some years you're going to be good, and then eventually it catches up with you, you're going to be down. You're going to be up again, you're going to be down. Like, that's how the NFL is set up. It's the ultimate parody league,
take
right?
Take me up, will you?
Say what?
Take me up, will you?
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, this team, you know, you had one literally shot in the dark in 2017 when you thought, okay, this is our time now. This is where we start to go up a little bit, and this is where we have our success, and you don't sustain it.
and you go back down. And it's been an anomaly here in terms of it's not supposed to be like this. There's not supposed to be this much suffering, but there has been, and that's obviously very frustrating.
Yeah, and when the payoff to that at some point, I continue to say, will be at some point this jubilation of sorts because everybody will have put up with this. It's kind of like, in that sense, the Red Sox not win the World Series for 86 years. The Cubs, you know, that romance of almost losing, but it makes you appreciate it more whenever it does happen. The place will be on fire. Let's just hope that happens sooner than later. It's interesting to hear you guys say that, though, and I feel that from a lot of former players, that they really root for the Jags to do well.
Absolutely.
And for the fans, I think it's less about the players and the organization, but it's for the fans that supported them in the past that you want to give them good moments. Because a lot of teams, even that you guys were on, it wasn't always the greatest. Mm-hmm. So, but I sense it different. Like, if it's more disgruntled employee about other positions, not players. we don't mind if they're not doing well, whatever. Screw the Jags. You know, if you talk to old people that were with the organization years ago or whatever. Yeah. So it's an interesting dynamic that the players are really, like, the most passionate and supportive about the teams that they no longer are even a part of. So I think that part is pretty cool. One thing before we go, and I want to get to, we had a busy Monday yesterday. Did you watch the fight Saturday night?
I did not.
Are you a boxing fan?
I am, but the problem is they start too late, and I go to bed early.
You're old.
He's spoken like a true old man, Josh. Nicely done.
Very old. You stayed up late for it.
Oh, I watched it, for sure.
How good? We didn't talk about this at all yesterday. How good was that fight? I watched it unfold on Twitter. I'm not spending $80 for it.
Yeah, sure.
Well, so there's ways around it. I know. I didn't feel
like
winning.
They went 10 rounds, didn't they?
10 rounds, yeah.
And so it was wild to watch it. I will tell you this. From my vantage point, I got to see the highlights of it because everybody will tweet them out anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm watching on Twitter, and just it's like, how is Wilder still on his feet? Like, it felt like Rocky
for sure,
for a little bit. How is he even there, still standing?
That's what I was going to compare it to. It seemed like a Rocky fight because Wilder was down first, and then it was Tyson Fury's down twice, and then, like, you know, both guys showed tremendous heart. And obviously it came down to conditioning. Yeah. And Wilder just ran out of gas. You know, he added about 28 pounds of extra muscle. I think that was a detriment to him. Tyson Fury added about 20 pounds of muscle or something to him as well. Yeah. But obviously right now there's not a bigger name in boxing than Tyson Fury. The guy's got the mic skills. He has the skill set as well. And he's a heavyweight boxer. So, like, he's got all those things going for him. I will say this, though, real quick. It's evident right now that celebrity boxing with people like Jake Paul, They're making people take notice, because literally every round I was watching this fight, they're like, and it's a good thing you tuned in because this is gonna be the best boxing match of the year. Like, it's almost like they're trying to say, hey, this is real boxing. Don't worry about that Jake Paul stuff over there. We got the real stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what it's like, they went out of their way to do that.
Well,
it kind of was a turnoff to me.
Turnoff to you, the legit boxing fan.
Yeah.
But they also realize that those guys have brought in new boxing fans.
Yeah.
Even though it's a charade.
Sure.
There you go.
Josh, if you could box anybody, celebrity, who would you box?
Oh, man. It would have to be someone I don't like.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That would be tough. It can't be. I was about to say a woman, but that would be a bad idea. That would have been a really bad idea. Let's see. Maybe Ed Sheeran.
Thanks for
I think I can
that.
Take
Ed
him
Sheeran?
Down.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Man, our morning show take a giant hit if you heard Ed Sheeran. Please don't hurt Ed Sheeran. He's like half our playlist on our morning show. We need him.
Yeah, that's why I want to punch him in the face.
By the way, go on the golf channel tomorrow, 12:15. Say you want to box DeChambeau, and then you'll get somewhere.
We kind of look alike.
There you go. Scobie, Austin
I would
Lane,
take him down.
Kurtz. Tuesdays at Top Golf. I'm Brent Morneau. FSU Coaches Show coming up next. And then Dodgers Giants on ESPN 690 at 8:30. We'll be back tomorrow, guys.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.